Good evening, Trinity family. We are here coming to you live, Trinity Church, and we just want to take a few minutes just to spend some time in the presence of God, lifting our voice in song and worshiping Him. We have a little message for you a little bit later to Pastor Sanford, and I will be doing a follow-up from Sunday's message, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But let's worship together this morning.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your unending hope. Your presence, Lord. Have tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, I will come.
Let us experience the glory of your God.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. And Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Put my hope in you alone, you alone. Trust that in the middle of the storm, in the midst of every trial, every torment that we find ourselves in, the raging seas, you are the firm foundation upon which we place our life. And we know that that firm foundation is your love, because your love never fails. Your love never fails us. So we place ourselves before you, Father. And we thank you, O God. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace, O God, that right now is being sent to each person that is listening, each person that is tuning in right now, O God. That peace that passes all understanding. Bringing peace and healing hearts. Father, we place ourselves in your hands. And we choose to trust you. We choose to trust you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, what an amazing time of worship that was.
Amen. God is always good. There's just something about being involved in worship that connects us with him and him with us. And that unity is just amazing.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God for it.
Well, I am hoping that in this time of being away, that you're able to connect with the presence of God. And as we are here and worship, and we are bringing the word, we feel the presence of God here. So I hope that it can be emulated. It's felt, and it blesses your heart as well. Pastor Sanford, you and I have had several conversations about kindness, multiple conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was preparing for this series, and we were talking, or I was sharing with you what the Lord had spoken to me about the different elements of what the antidote is. This particular element of kindness, I think it really hit home for me. I know it hit home for you.
Oh, yes.
And I know that the Lord has been speaking to your heart a lot about this, and so I'm here more as an observer than anything today. I would love to hear what the Lord's speaking to you about kindness, and so why don't you share with us a little bit about what the Lord is sharing or has been sharing with you or speaking to you about this subject of kindness.
It's my joy. Talk about antidote, and there's so much going on in our world today that is unkind. It seems like so many of our activities with one another have become rather impersonal. Seems to be a term that has become kind of dominant in our culture, and that is a term called bullying. And I don't think we ever intend to be bullying. Sometimes we're just not self-aware, and sometimes preoccupied, and I just believe that we need to have a conscious effort to become kind, to kind of rehearse in our mind what we are going to say. My son, when he was just a toddler, maybe 2 or 3 years of age, sometimes when he would speak, we would look at him and he would move his lips before he would say anything, and he would rehearse what he was going to say. And I think sometimes maybe that's exactly what needs to happen in our conversations. We need to rehearse, and we need to ask, is what I'm going to say kind? Am I really saying what needs to be said, or am I reacting? If we could learn to be a little more proactive, and I believe this idea of kindness assists us in this idea of being proactive.
As you're talking about taking the time to think through, it takes me back to what we mentioned on Sunday, and that is that the kindness really isn't something that comes naturally to us. It's not something that is part of our nature. It's obviously a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. And kindness is one of those, and it's an important one. And so it's part of the character of God. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And as I was thinking about the story of a little child, I think it was just a baby, had not been speaking, and the parents were around as the child began to make guttural sounds. And suddenly the child began to say his first word, and the parents began to look and say, what's it going to be? And they got their recorders up. As the child began to try to speak, and took a deep breath and said, mine. And I think that's kind of the nature we are. Part of it is the fallen nature of sin, that we are identified more of selfishness. And one of the things very important is for us to understand, and let's go back again, let's catch up on one little thought, and that is, what does kindness mean? Kindness is from the word that means the quality of being friendly, generous, considerate. Other words are kind-heartedness, warm-heartedness, tender-heartedness, goodwill, affection, warmth, gentleness, tenderness, concern, and care. All of those words are synonyms for what we are talking about when we are talking about kindness. And most of those don't come naturally with us.
One of the things that really struck me on Sunday, that it really hit home with me, and I felt like we needed to dwell a little bit more on, was the idea that we struggle with that third commandment in the two commandment principle: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength; love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Why don't you dive deeper into what that means?
Oh, and we have to go back to the original text, because the original text is so plain. One comes to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? And I don't know exactly what they were expecting, and Jesus really took them together and condensed them. I have often said that the 10 became 2, but the 2 were really just 1, because Jesus said, you are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, with your energy, with everything within you. You are to love God. And the second one is as critical, and that is, you will love your neighbor. But that neighbor love comes with a caveat, and that is, you will love your neighbor with the same love that you have of yourself. And that must be a love of quality. That must be a love that's identified. That must be a love that is destined, is designed. And I cannot tell you how important it is that we love ourselves, because we cannot be kind to others. We cannot love others unless we learn how to love ourselves. I will only be as kind to you as I am myself. I think that's where bullying comes from, this whole idea of supremacy. In psychology, it's often called, with a barnyard term, of henpecking, or trying to find a pecking order. This whole idea that when I come into somebody else's presence, I begin to try to find my place of value. I begin to try to find where I am in this order. And if I don't feel good about myself, I begin to find a way of trying to set the scene and try to absorb everything so it becomes about me, which is where bullying comes from. If I'm not pleased with myself, how can I be pleased with you? So therefore, I have to somehow press you down so that I can be amplified, so that I can be projected. So if I'm going to be kind to you, I've got to learn to be kind to myself. It's difficult, not to be angry at someone else when I'm angry at myself. If I have just gone through an experience and I feel deflated and I feel inferior and I feel unwanted and unneeded and unnecessary, and I'm to come into a presence and to somehow edify everyone else, be kind to everyone else, that's almost an impossible task. I can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in me brings God's kindness into my life, and then I can begin to reflect, I can begin to speak, I can begin to demonstrate, illustrate. Take whatever word you want. We could exhaust a thesaurus here with anecdotes to understand how important it is for me to have a character that is not my character. It's probably not what I awakened with in the morning. It's probably not what I felt when I was in traffic. It's probably not what I felt in my discussion with my wife. It's probably not what I felt when I was involved in dealing with my children. It's to come in and be kind. But I can do that because God's nature is kindness. And as I ask Him to flow the Holy Spirit through me, from His nature to my nature, that I find myself being kind because it's His kindness.
I'm reminded of what we talked about 3 weeks ago when we talked about a holy pause, taking the time to just stop for a minute. You know, so many times we find ourselves very busy in our day, and there are many times people are not kind. People are not kind to us. We are dealing with all kinds of harsh, stress-filled situations, especially now, at home when we are surrounded by family who we love dearly, but generally the ones that we love the most that irritate us the most. And I know that whenever, I've come home from a very stressful day, I'm going to be honest right now. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? There are times whenever I have had a very stressful day and I get to my front door and I open the front door and I'm faced with what I'm looking for is a glass of iced tea and a recliner and to decompress. And what I find is a wife and children that love me dearly and need me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to be compassionate in that moment. It's hard to be kind in that moment, and yet compassion is really going beyond thinking about what I want. Kindness is going on beyond what I need and having compassion for people around me, right?
Yeah, and there's a story that's told sometimes in models of psychological behavior of a secretary who is at work, and as she goes into work that day, immediately the supervisor comes in and says, "Where is the report that I had that I needed? I need that copy today, and I told you to have that copy ready for me with four copies. Where is it? It's not on my desk." And she said, I thought I placed it there, but I don't know what happened. The janitor must have thrown it in the trash." So the supervisor calls the janitor and says, "Did you clean things off the desk and toss them when you're not supposed to? Were you doing that?" And the janitor is very angry and said, "I don't remember doing that." And then he walks out, and as he walks out, he sees a team of housekeepers, and he yells at them and says, "Which one of you cleaned that office and messed with this person's desk? I just got in trouble over it." And one of the other janitors said, "Well, it wasn't me." The housekeeper said, "It wasn't me." And the janitor said, "Well, I fire you. Get out of here. Don't come back anymore." So he goes home, and immediately when he goes home, he gets up to the door, and the dog is in the doorway, and he kicks the dog as hard as he can. So we find ourselves kicking the dog more often than we should. So we need to ask God to forgive us, to take that holy pause. And we have to say, and I want us to do it right now, if you don't mind, whatever you're doing, would you take a holy pause with me for the briefest of moments? And I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would be able to bow your head, and would you just exhale? It's been a tough time for all of us. It's been tough as you've been in the supermarkets. It's been tough as you're hearing more and more people that are in pain. It's more and more difficult when you catch the news media and wonder if any of your friends have a COVID need. It's been really, really difficult. You are stressed beyond measure. You are stretched like a rubber band and you're about to break. Would you exhale for a moment? Maybe you have not been kind. Maybe, Mama, you weren't kind in the way you were dealing with the lessons that you were trying to teach them. Maybe you weren't kind with your husband. Sir, maybe you haven't been kind with your family. Maybe you haven't been kind because everybody working from home and you haven't been able to have your debriefing time. Maybe you're angry because all your sports events have been canceled. Maybe you're just angry because you know there are pressures on your job. Would you just exhale for a moment right now? Just go ahead and exhale. Allow all of those negative thoughts to begin to be exhaled from you. And let me pray for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would plug into the lives of these that are listening to me right now. And not only into them, but to Pastor Josh and myself also. Would you just flow into our lives right now? May the peace of God that passes all understanding, and may joy that is unspeakable and filled with glory just wash through us like a cool breeze on a hot August night, like stepping out of the cabin in the Colorado mountains on that brisk winter's day. May we sense that, and may we begin to sense something we haven't sensed in a while. That is your tolerance. Even more than that, your overwhelming love for us. And may that love be translated to those that are around us, the clerks in the grocery store, the people that we have to deal with, and especially the intimate ones with our own family, and even the dog waiting for us at the door. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Let us be kind to one another, and let us forgive ourselves right now. Forgive us, and let the blood of Jesus Christ cover us. And may our sins that are as crimson as they can be washed to the purity of the driven snow. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Amen. You know, this coming Sunday is a communion Sunday.
Yes.
And we celebrate every time that we take communion, we celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus made, but I call it also a gift, the gift that God gave. He gave His Son. And I don't know what you and I, or any one of us that He died for, had to offer Him. As a matter of fact, I know that we had nothing that we could offer Him. And yet He gave.
Amen.
He gave to give, not to receive.
That is so amazing.
You know, what are some of the ways that we can understand that kindness is really about giving?
Well, I think it's so important to understand the gift that kindness is. And to understand that we cannot be kind unless we feel compassion, unless I feel sympathy. Empathy is one of those areas within the human makeup that is in short supply. It's always about us, as I was saying a few moments ago. But to be able to look at someone else and realize that they have a need, maybe a need greater than mine. I told the story on Sunday about going into a restaurant some years ago when the food server was not being kind to me at all. As my mother used to say, my mother was a food server for many years. And she used to refer to her job as slinging hash. And she slung the food server, slung the silverware, and just slammed everything down and put the menu in front of me and walked off without a greeting, without a smile. And I was agitated. I thought, I'm paying good money for this food. And she expects a tip. And then I thought to myself, I'll just call the manager. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look beyond her faults and see her need. So instead of calling the manager when she came back, I reached out and touched her gently on the hand and I said, how may I pray for you? And she began to weep and she said, my husband has been very, very ill. He's been home and we knew that he was going to have to go back to the hospital again. We know that he has incurable cancer and we knew it was only a matter of time. And I just got a call that my daughter said that they are taking him to the hospital now. And my manager said that he didn't have anybody to fill in for me. So could I finish the lunch rush and he would let me go. And she said, he's there and I'm here. And suddenly my food didn't matter anymore. Suddenly it mattered not to me whether I ate another meal really in the rest of my life. I was only thinking about her. And I thought about a time when Jesus was suffering, when his cousin had been killed. His heart is breaking, and the only thing he knows to do is what you and I know to do, is to go into respite. And he goes into respite, and when he gets to respite, there are people that are everywhere, pushing in, wanting to be touched, wanting to be healed. And the Bible said he was moved with compassion. He looked beyond his need and he saw their need and he reached out to them and expressed kindness to them. On another time, he had been talking for a long season of time, probably delivering a message similar to the Sermon on the Mount, where he had exhausted himself sharing the fundamentals and the cores of the gospel. And he looked and realized how long he had been talking and how hot it had been, and realized these people hadn't got to eat. And he had compassion on them. And he turned to his disciples and said, let's feed them. And the disciples said, are you out of your gourd? Have you lost your mind? There are thousands of people here. There's no way we can do it. There's no way. Yet Jesus had compassion and said, there is a way. And a little boy came forward and Jesus took his few little fish and his few bits of bread and he broke it and blessed it and gave it to them and they began to feed. Oh, I thank God for that. That remarkable, remarkable compassion that Jesus had. And I thank God for that compassion. Pastor Josh, would you pray that the people that are listening to us would look beyond faults and begin to see needs where people are. And they begin to understand. Would they begin to understand that they're not the only ones that shelter? Their neighbors are. And some of their neighbors fear that this may be a death sentence for them. So may we have compassion one for another.
Absolutely. Father God, I just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that you would reach into the homes of each and every person that is listening right now. Help them to hear these words, Lord, that as we show kindness, that as we show and demonstrate your love and your compassion for others, as we allow that compassion to flow through us to others, that we in turn receive peace. We receive joy. We receive satisfaction. We receive the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Help us to recognize and just take a moment and understand that what the world needs is your love demonstrated in kindness. So help us to be kind. And teach us, oh God, how to live a life that is unselfish, that is thinking of others rather than ourselves, in Jesus' name. You know, we've talked about how that the first piece, the first element in this, is that we must love ourselves. We must, in order to care for others, we must have a a view of ourselves that comes in alignment with the way that God views us. He loves us. And therefore, we should embrace that love and allow that love to emulate through our lives. We've talked about how that we are to lead with compassion. We've talked about how that we should not give in order to get, but we should give to give. I want to talk about this is because, you know, when we look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He said, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. With whatever measure you meet, it will be measured to you." And so, what is it about the act of kindness that is reciprocal? How does that affect a person when they are kind? What winds up happening? What do they experience?
The amazing thing about it, you're dealing with principles that I don't understand. I'm just not that intelligent. My analytical processing are not able to go in that direction. I do not understand how one can plant a seed and from that seed a crop can come. I understand that I'm smart enough, given enough time, I can plant the seeds in them. I can count the seeds that are in an apple. But there is absolutely no way I can ever understand by any breadth of my intelligence or who I am or who I'll ever be, how many apples are in one seed.
That's awesome.
I can never understand how much kindness will be reciprocated. I was agitated at my lovely wife a few days ago, and I shouldn't have been.
Say it as if so.
I was agitated. I was needing to go in the grocery store, and it was in the very beginning of the crisis when the lines were amazing. And as I started to walk, and she said, "By the way, our neighbor asked if we could pick up 2 gallons of milk for her." And I thought to myself, I need to go in, and now you add this dimension of me being kind to a neighbor. So I went in, and I purposely got the milk, and as I brought it up to the checkout stand, as I put it there, the lady looked at me and she said, "You're one of those people." And I looked around and thought, surely she was talking to somebody else. That's not the response I normally get. She said, "You're one of those hoarders." She said, "You try to take 2 milk and you can only have 1. Therefore, I declare that you have no milk." And I thought to myself, okay, that's what you get for trying to be kind. And a guy behind me, never met him in my life before, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "I'm sorry, those were my milks." And he pulled them back to his place, paid for them, and when we got outside the store, he handed them to me. And I said, "Thank you for passing kindness on. Because these are not even my milk. It's for a lady across the street from me who was fearful to come to the store." God has a way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We take the scripture and preachers use it. How many evangelists have used this? How many preachers, sweaty, angry, red-faced, have said, "Be not deceived. God's not mocked. You that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You corruptible, vile people." But that's not even what the verse means. Although that's a part of what it says because it's true. Paul is saying that because he's talking about the laws of faithful harvest. Because then he says that he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We're talking about spiritual sowing.
Amen.
Whatever you give will be given back. And I'm not talking about giving here. And during these times when congregations are not able to meet together, giving is important. We do depend on your giving and we depend on your generosity. And thank you for being faithful. God bless you as you give. But I want to tell you, the Bible says give and it'll be given to you. Press down, shake it together, overflowing. Listen to this principle. Will men give to your essence? Men will give to your essence. Because whatever measure you use, is the same measure God and others will use in return back to you.
You know, I've heard the statement made, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And when we talk about kindness, isn't kindness really another word for love?
Oh.
I mean, said, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it begins to list out other aspects of love.
Oh, absolutely.
As we look even at the chapter of love, as we call it, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is kind.
Amen.
Love is kind.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that the Bible says that God is love. And therefore, God is kind.
Oh.
God is kind.
So
I want you to touch, as we are coming, culminating everything, coming back around towards wrapping this here, I want to talk about the synonym, how it is a synonym. Kindness is a synonym. I can't even say it right now. It's a synonym of love.
I like cinnamon, too.
So. Yes, I was thinking about lunch, I guess, or supper, whatever.
My daughter had the privilege of being a part of our service on Sunday. She and my son-in-law were a part of the team on Sunday morning as we unwrapped kindness. And I shared then that it's absolutely amazing that the world at large, the secular educational system, is beginning to look towards all of these thoughts about kindness. They're calling it emotional intelligence. My daughter had to attend a seminar at the district where she teaches here in San Antonio, the public school system, and the entire lesson was all about emotional intelligence. And they spent 3 hours talking about being kind. About being kind. My son-in-law is high up in government work. He is he's a general in the Homeland Security, and he is teaching many, many men, scores and scores of men and women, how to do their work more effectively. And at the same time, he is also trained as a chaplain, working with the government whenever there's an individual that works for the government that is harmed in some way. He is one of the first responders in ministry. It's amazing, because in that position, he has some limitations on what he can say. But the seminars that he attended as a chaplain and as a government employee were exactly the same seminars on learning how to be kind. My daughter was sharing, as we were having lunch together, she said, isn't it amazing when you have a child and you bring a new pet into the home? And the pet is there, and the child grabs the pet and doesn't know how to be kind to the pet. Immediately you tell the child, honey, be gentle. Be tender. But at the same time, what she's saying is, be kind. There's something about kindness that is joyful. There is something about kind that is loving. There is something about kind that brings us storms and a life into a place of resolve and respite. There's something about all of the character and nature of God that becomes exactly the same. I came across an old school song, Pastor Josh. I hope you won't forgive me for blending a bit of the secular and the religious. I believe a song that Glenn Campbell made $1 million from became who he really is today, not only by the time I get to Phoenix and Jim on my mind, but a song that was being played once an hour for almost 6 months. It's time we listen to it again. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, somehow they'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. So don't walk around all down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along the way. May I pray for you with one more prayer before we wrap this up? I want to pray for you that you will become instruments of kindness. The prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi is so beautiful, but I just isolate one part of that. Help me be kind. Lord, I ask that we would be able to, wherever we go. Christy, my daughter, said that she was taught in the seminar to throw kindness like confetti. I just don't get it with me. May we throw kindness like seeds. May we throw kindness like manna. May we throw kindness like Boaz throughout to Ruth, as he declared to those that were harvesting the wheat that the poor people, including Ruth, were going to come through that day and gather. And when he looked at Ruth, he instructed the harvesters, leave handfuls on purpose for her. So may we leave handfuls on purpose of kindness for those in our lives, for those of a different political persuasion, for those who are different than us, for those of someone that are outliers from our culture, for those who are the different color, different gender, different everything, and they're just not people like us. May we leave handfuls on purpose for them. And may something come from this season of time other than destruction and doom and definitions of deliberate designs of destruction. May a harvest of beneficial benefit, kindness, and love. And may it be said of us during this culture, behold, how they love one another. Let it happen in the name of Jesus. And I declare it to be true. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Sanford, for sharing that with us. And I believe that this is a very timely message. It is a time more than ever when we need kindness in our lives. We need to see people touched with kindness. I want to speak to you for just one moment as we're wrapping. And that is to say this, that the hardest of people, the people that are looked at as strong-willed and just rough people are desperately looking for a touch of kindness. Even the most violent of animals, when shown kindness, become gentle. It is that Jesus is love. Jesus is kindness. And when he came, he demonstrated kindness to us. So I want you to know, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, do the first things first. Receive God's love into your life. Embrace his kindness, because there's nothing else like it. When you accept that God is kind and he has demonstrated kindness to you, and you embrace that, he will take your life and he will make it an offering of kindness to those around you. He loves you. We love you. We're continuing to believe God with you. And we know that as we continue to get closer to God in prayer and worship and the Word and in fellowship, even at a distance as we are right now, but staying connected to brothers and sisters in the family of God, this helps us to begin to take on the character and the nature of Jesus. And as we have the nature of Jesus in our lives, we realize and we discover that Jesus is the antidote to the world around us. So be like Jesus. Be intentional in your faith. Be authentic. Be willing to admit when you've done wrong, when you're not emulating him. Be honest, be real, be true, be genuine, and be kind. Be kind. Demonstrate kindness. May the Lord bless you as you go throughout the rest of your week, and may he give you the strength to be able to allow his love to embrace you and to carry your kindness forward. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our family. We love you so much, church family. And for those who are joining us, be sure to let us know that you took the time to view this. If you have a prayer request, if you have something that you need, you can call here to the church office, 210-653-0003. Or you can email us, you can text us, you can leave a message here on this video, and someone will respond to you. We want you to know that we're here for you. We're praying for you. We love you. And we're looking forward to getting past all of this when we can be together again in body. But for now, in spirit, we love you so much. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. See you soon, Sunday.